Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity Radio. I don't know about everybody, but I know one thing. It's like Christmas around here. Football season is just around the corner. Some games are being played tomorrow. Most of the games are going to be played on Friday, and we got some rainouts might be on Saturday and Monday. So a lot of fun around here. Wanted to go ahead and introduce Daniel Burleson. He's the Northeast North Carolina senior correspondent for Carolina Varsity. Daniel, how are you doing, my friend?
You said Christmas. I say it's more like Hanukkah, the way games are getting scheduled and pushed around here. You got games happening on tomorrow night and Friday night, and who knows, there might be some Saturday and Sunday games. I'm excited for a whole weekend of fun. I don't know about y'all.
I tell you what, you know what, the Hanukkah part was probably right. I don't know if we can get 8 crazy nights or not, but it'd be cool with me if we did. Fred Galey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'll either go with the Hanukkah or the 12 days of Christmas, but you're about right. You know the game.
Hey, Fred, I think we might have lost you here. Fred Galey, he's with us, the senior correspondent for Carolina Varsity in the Alamance area, covers Guilford and Alamance County area, another greater area there. I think Fred just cut off. Sometimes we get some bad connections every so often. Hopefully he'll be back. All right, Daniel, Thursday night, what game are you going to go to?
Well, Thursday night, there's been a couple of games that have been moved in the area because of impending storms coming up the coast on Friday. Most notably, the Northeastern D.H. Conley game has been moved to Thursday night at 7:30 in Elizabeth City. And that's where I was originally going to be on Friday, but I'll be there tomorrow night. And I don't know about y'all, but I am ready. I think behind Scotland and Mallard Creek is probably the second best matchup in the state.
I think you're right on this. And you know what? I want to know, is this going to be an offensive game that we know Conley's known for their offense, or is this going to be a defensive game? And we know that Northeastern usually has some really good defense. If I remember right, they didn't allow anybody more than 23 points a game last year. Is that right, Daniel?
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's one thing you look – at Conley, you can notice one thing in particular about Conley. There's no D in Conley. Last year, you know, they gave up close to 40 points a game. 40 points a game. I mean, when you have a stud quarterback in Holton Ayers, you got that stud wide receiver in C.J. Johnson, and who can air it out. They're getting 50 points a game, but they're having outscored teams tremendously. Northeastern's always been known for their defense. They've always been had an attacking defense. Antonio Moore, that's how he's mostly won most of his games, with a zero blitz sometime. You know, he's not knowing where he's going to bring the blitz and who he's going to come with and what. And I think that's where this game is going to be won at. To tell you the truth, I've seen some pretty ridiculous predictions on this game. I've seen some people, they've been predicting scores in the 40s and 50s for this game. You know, I just don't see it. I think this game, it's probably going to be more like a playoff feel. It's going to feel more like a playoff game in the first week of the season. And I just think that Northeastern is going to be rolling on all cylinders. I don't think Conley's going to be there just yet. And I think we're going to see a score more like so Northeastern by 10, maybe a 35-25 score or something like that. I think if Northeastern can get to the quarterback and push him around, it's going to be a long night for Conley, because I don't think that, you know, Conley can keep up with Northeastern's defense.
I totally agree with you. Now, let me ask you this. Friday night, Tarboro, they're playing somebody, or they're not. Aren't they playing a team called Plymouth?
It's the Battle of the Vikings. If you look, it's a 1A favorite, Tarboro Vikings. They return an explosive class of seniors led by running back Dante Williams, who ran for over 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. A dynamic 1-2 punch with Tay Randolph. They run that spread option and they run a pass out of that sometimes too, and you just don't know who's going to have the ball coming out of that Tarboro backfield. They're going to face a Plymouth team that is going to be coming in not as strong as some of the previous Plymouth teams have been. Plymouth's defense carried them a lot last year. A lot of those defensive players are gone and graduated now. They got a new defense starting out. They've got some speed. They still have their speed on their running backs, but I think it's going to be a long year for Plymouth, and it's not going to be a nice start for them. But it's going to be a good measuring stick the first game of the season for both teams.
I agree with you. The one thing I will say, and people might shoot me, and I'll actually, my good friends over in Plymouth, Coach Cody and Coach Croson, thank the world of both of these guys, class acts, great coaches. I would not be surprised if Tarboro actually gets a running clock on Plymouth. Do you think that's outside of the realm of possibility?
I really think so. I mean, I think this game would probably go a lot like the previous couple years' games Plymouth have had with Northeastern. I think it will be close early, maybe the first couple of possessions. Plymouth starters, you know, will hang with Tarboro starters, you know, and then the wearing down will start happening, I believe. And I believe with too much talent, too much depth from Tarboro, pulls away late, pulls away, well, not late, but probably midway second quarter on, and I'm probably looking at more like a score about a 42-7 type score, maybe.
I got you. Now, big team down there, Edenton Homes. I think they're probably your second or third best team in that in your Northeast North Carolina corridor. Are they playing this week, or they got a bye?
They've got an interesting game. They have to travel down to the coast and play a dangerous team in First Flight out of the Kill Devil Hills. You know, First Flight had played with Edenton last year, had actually scored up to about 30 points on Edenton, you know, and they got some players. So it's a good, tough test for Coach Paul Hoggard and his Edenton's home aces as they start their quest to maybe become the 1AA state champions this year.
I gotcha. I'm going to get Fred in here with us. Fred, are you with us, buddy?
I'm back, Jim. Sorry the call dropped. I was in the car.
I understand that. For those that don't know where Fred lives, it's hard to explain it. He lives in a beautiful area, got a bunch of lakes, a lot of acreage, beautiful home, beautiful family. And, you know, when I grow up, I want to be just like Fred, a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. Fred, I know that me and you are going to go to a game on Friday between Southern Nash and Green Hope. I think we've got a doozy on our hands. What do you think?
I think that could be a real good game. It's at Green Hope. I think Green Hope's, I think, sort of one of my sleeper teams in 4A this year. I'm not by any means saying they're ready to be elite. They've been a decent team the last 4 or 5 years. I think they had a good team 2 or 3 years ago, a pretty good team that went like 10-3 or 11-3. But they've got a lot of pieces back. They've got some big linemen. They've got their quarterback back and some good athletes. They have an addition in Jordan Adams coming in as a senior. He's a UNC commit, and he was South Carolina's 5A player of the year last year. So I think that anytime you add a beast to the mix, it's got to make the show better. I mean, they've got to be better. And they're going up against Southern Nash, which was a real good team last year. I believe they lost one game. And they have a lot of strong pieces back, to include 2 1,000-yard running backs and another fellow by the name of Nadir Thompson, who plays defensive back and wide receiver, who was a state 200-meter champion and is a Virginia Tech commit. So I'm looking to see Thompson and Adams go up against each other. And did I lose you again? Well, I'm not sure if I lost you or not.
Any more interesting games happening in your area, Fred?
In my area, did we lose Jim, by the way?
I think we have, so I guess we need to just keep on going.
All right. Well, actually, where I'm at, you know,
the games are kind of weak here in Alamance County this week, which is why I'm leaving the area. Over towards Greensboro, there's a couple I'm looking at. The other one I'm really looking forward to is Saturday night. I'm going to go over, for those that don't know, Sanderson is going through a stadium rebuild. So Saturday night, they're playing using Cardinal Gibbons Stadium as their home stadium. And I'm looking to see East Forsyth is traveling over to Sanderson. Those are two pretty highly thought of teams in 4A this year. Most people know about East Forsyth. They've got big lines. They did lose some people from last year. But Sanderson is sort of an up-and-coming program in the Raleigh area with a couple of real good players. And so I'm looking forward to that one. By the way, I wanted to jump in with you, Daniel, on the Northeastern and DH Conley that I caught the end of. I think that's going to be a heck of a ball game. I think you're right. I think Northeastern has the better top-end athletes. Conley is very dangerous with that quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in the state this year.
Absolutely. You look at his numbers last year. I mean, he threw for over 4,500 yards, 51 passing touchdowns. I mean, the receiver he throws to, C.J. Johnson, is coming back. He had over 1,700 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns. I mean, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch if you're the Conley Vikings.
Yeah, I think that I'm actually very high on Conley, but I have the same question you do. I know it's D.H. Conley, but none of us have seen the D. And I think if their D is improved, then this could be a heck of a ball game. If their D is going to be a D that gives up 40 points a game, then I think you're absolutely right. Northeastern is going to take them.
Oh, yeah. And there's a kid on this Northeastern team that everybody needs to keep an eye on. And his name is Travion Work Freshwater. He's a junior halfback. He ran for over 1,000 yards last year. On defense, he had 22 sacks. So, I mean, he's one of those players that can go both ways and plays well both ways. And he's one of those two top D1 prospects that everybody keeps talking about that they have. He is the playmaker on that team, and he's going to be a fun player to watch this year.
He's getting offers from everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's uncommitted right now, but he's only in his junior year, so he's still got another year to play. So he's focused on this year and next year, and that's it right now.
Yeah. Another game I'm looking at in this area, and it's not – in the past, you might have thought this was a big deal game. It's not really a big deal game now, but I'm curious to see how Northern Guilford and Grimsley works out. Grimsley has struggled a little bit the last few years, and Northern Guilford was really stout for a long time. And then this last year or two, they've not been as strong, particularly last year. They struggled. They barely made the playoffs. It's not your mother's Northern Guilford, but I'm real curious to see – with their coach in the second year, and they do have some good pieces there, players that have, you know, had the start as freshmen and sophomores a couple years ago, played a lot as freshmen and started as sophomores. They'll be juniors this year, and with that extra experience, I'm sort of curious to see if Northern Guilford can get it back on track.
Hey, guys, I'm back. For some reason, I got kicked off. We're having all kinds of connectivity problems today on Carolina Varsity Radio. That sure is my problem, but anyway, I'm glad that Fred and Daniel got it straightened out here. So we went
radio silent for a little while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll call that the radio. Well, you know what? If anybody's listening that has some extra money they want to throw in and, you know, sponsor this radio show, that was your time. You know, we could do some type of jingle for you. You know, you might be over in Ragsdale. Going to a football game, there's a nice little seafood restaurant over there. We could have some type of, do a little jingle for that seafood restaurant. Or if you live in Albemarle, going to go to the Thomasville game, we could do a little jingle for Mar Mount. You know, I don't care. It's just, it's all good. It's all good on that.
Yeah.
So what's the next game we're going to talk about, Fred?
Well, the next one I was going to bring up, while you were gone, I talked about East Forsyth and Sanderson just a little bit, basically, and talked about the fact that Sanderson's undergoing stadium renovation, so they're actually playing at Cardinal Gibbons on Saturday, but
right.
East Forsyth. But the next one I was going to mention from this area is Page and Davie. I mean, Page is sort of local to me, and I think that's a very interesting game. A couple of 4A teams. Page, they've been to a couple state championship games, and – frankly, struggled in those games. Now they've lost their quarterback in Jones, and they don't have Javon Leak, who's up at Maryland now, at running back. And they lost their head coach. They now have Rolfs, Jared Rolfs, who was at Northwest Guilford. Their head coach, Kevin Gillespie, went down to Asheboro. But they're still a strong program with a lot of good parts, and I'll be interested to see how they do with Davey. Honestly, I actually think Davey will win the game. Curious on your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm going with Davey on that. I think Davey is a loaded beast myself. I think on my ballot I have Davey around 15 or 16 or so. I mean, that's going to be a whale of a game.
Yeah, I think I had Davey around 15 or 16, and I had Paige actually down around 19 to 21. I don't remember exactly. I think Paige has lost a step from where they were, but they still have a beast there playing linebacker now in Tisdale. He's a heck of a player, and so I think that I think Paige traveling down to Moxville to play Davie County is that could be a heck of a game. But I would favor Davie, but not big.
Now, Daniel, I want to play a game of saying or insane here. I want you to tell me this. I think this Manio versus Currituck game is going to be a really good game. Am I sane or am I insane?
Hey, you're sane. I think Coach Sports Sawyer's got something to prove with Manio, and I think this rivalry, you know, the Currituck Manio rivalry, they've been playing for the first game every year for God knows how long up here. So I mean, it's a huge game. It always comes down to whoever wants it more. Yeah, I think you're going to be in for a nice game there.
All right, now, Fred, I want to ask you a question here. This is High Point Andres hosting Southeast Guilford. I think Southeast Guilford is going to win, and I don't necessarily think this is going to be a very good game. Am I sane or insane on that thinking?
Jim, I think you're sane, and here's why. High Point Andres changed coaches late. We know that. Now, it was an in-house hire. I had already heard that High Point Andres isn't quite as stout as a lot of us are used to seeing him. Southeast Guilford's new coach, and his name's slipping me right now, but he came off of Dudley's staff, and he's gotten away from the wing T type of game, and he's gone to a spread passing attack, and they've got some good-looking players. They've got some big fellas, and I just think that Southeast Guilford is going to be a little bit too big and a little bit too strong, and they've got equal type of speed. So I think you're saying I really like Southeast Guilford in this game.
Okie dokie. And now I'm going to ask Daniel. For those who don't know, Daniel is, we say he's Northeast North Carolina correspondent, but he had some mountain blood in him. One time, Daniel, I always remember this because I was freezing cold. It was Tarboro versus, I think it was Southwest Onslow, going to I think it might have been a regional game, or maybe it was a third round game or something.
It was Wallace Rose Hill,
that's right. It was Wallace Rose Hill. And it was blowing, the wind was blowing, and I was cold. I had about four layers on there. I look over at Daniel. He's wearing a T-shirt, and he's sweating. And I don't know what it is about that mountain deer, but you guys kind of like it cold. But let me ask you this.
You got thick skin.
Thick skin is right. Asheville High School, they're hosting Franklin. I think this is going to be a pretty good game, and I would not be surprised if Franklin wins this game. Do you have a feel for this game one way or the other?
Not. I know traditionally these teams have always been rivals and all. It's always been a seesaw battle. I mean, I haven't been in the area enough to know who's going to win this game, but I always know that this game's always hard fought between the two teams.
And I agree with you. I think another good game, Brevard is hosting Mountain Heritage. I think Mountain Heritage by probably about three scores on that. Do you agree with that thought, or do you think it'll be closer? Okay.
Definitely, because, you know, they're a top 15 team in the state. I mean, Brevard, they're a building team, but this Heritage is going to come out and make a statement.
Now, next game I had on this here was I've got to give a shout-out to Cedar Ridge. I think Cedar Ridge will handle Carborough very well. Carborough is a team that a couple years ago had to forfeit some games. And, Fred, I'm going to ask you a question here. Sal Davidson has already been announced they're going to forfeit their game against Trinity. They just don't have enough kids. What kind of sign is that for that program when you can't even have enough kids to play an opening game?
Especially deciding this late. I think it's one thing if they had known a while back and they had decided just to go to a JV program to focus on that because they just had young kids. I haven't heard the circumstances behind it, but I think it bodes poorly for the future. I mean, I know, and you and I, right down the road from you, we've seen that at a 4A school, well, now a 3A school, in East Chapel Hill High, had the same thing happen. And I think there are some communities where football is really struggling because it's not a priority. And I think if you can't even field a team, one of two things is going on. Either football is dying at your school, or the coaches come to the decision that I just have freshmen and sophomores, and I really can't put them out there as varsity players. And if that's the case, well, I commend him for that because he doesn't want to get anybody hurt. But I think for the long future, I think it bodes poorly for football at the school.
I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, a lot of places like that where Fred and I live, where we live, it's very country club area. It kind of hurts. Like, my area is very soccer. And I do think that hurts a lot. How about you, Fred?
Well, and between that and the country club sports tend to dominate some schools. There are schools that have much bigger soccer programs and less in football. And truthfully, with a lot of the negative feedback you've been hearing in the news about concussions and CTE, it has some people concerned. And I get it. That's a parent's decision. But I think at some of these schools, football is just not an emphasis. For example, like I just mentioned, East Chapel Hill High. They've got strong country club sports, but they're really not interested in football.
Right. That's a great school when it comes to academics. Wonderful school. It's just not really a big football school. I want to talk about, Fred, while I got you on here, Graham versus Eastern Alamance. Now, Graham at one time had a great football program. Back when Pat Moser was the head coach, they won a state championship. Now they're not that strong, and they're playing Eastern Alamance. Do you think Graham will hold Eastern Alamance to where they won't even have a running clock? I see running clock on this game. How about you?
I will be surprised if it's not a running clock game. There's no other way to put it. Eastern Alamance should roll bigger school, stronger football culture, stronger football participation nowadays. I think Eastern Alamance, if they've got their act together, and they usually do under John Kirby, I think that this is a running clock game. It's not even a question to me.
Yeah, that's my thought. I wish that our buddy Derek Miller was on here so he could give his unbiased opinion about the holy war between Charlotte Catholic and Charlotte Christian.
Did
I don't know about
unbiased?
You guys, but yeah, unbiased, of course. Totally unbiased. Never, you know, he always pulls against Catholic, you know. He's always,
right.
I'm joking. He's the biggest Charlotte Catholic supporter there is. I think that's going to be a great game to go to.
I think it should be a good game. I've heard great things about Charlotte Christian's quarterback. But it's hard for me to ever pick against Catholic. I mean, just yesterday or today, I guess yesterday we heard they had another kid move in who's going to immediately help them on the D-line. I think Charlotte Catholic wins the game, but I think it's in typical fashion, it's close. Derek would probably tell you it comes down to the turnover battle.
Now, Daniel, got a question for you, and I want you to use your Daniel's a psychic. Or at least right now we're going to say he's a psychic. He's looking at his crystal ball, and he's going to guess about how many people show up for the Creswell Rocky Mount prep game. Daniel, what does your crystal ball say?
I would probably say all the parents and most everybody just associated with the team. I mean,
you're probably.
I've actually been to a Creswell football game before. It was like going to a middle school football game, to tell you the truth. It was quite an experience for a high school. So,
now,
that didn't do anything.
Now, Daniel, would you say that Crestwood might be one of the smaller high schools? I think was it 85 they had last year enrollment, not players,
yeah,
but enrollment at the whole high school.
Yeah,
so
with
we
had Hatteras now sitting out the season and stuff, I believe Crestwood is the smallest high school in the state playing football with their numbers. It might be a tie between them and Beargrass Charter, but it was Cape Hatteras, and now they've decided they're not playing football. Since you guys were talking about teams decided to hang them up this year, Cape Hatteras has done that as well. But they have done that in the past in previous years as well. So
they did that either 2014 or 15. I did not know that about Cape Hatteras. That's news to me. That's going to be really hard for these teams. Like, if for whatever reason, if Beargrass, let's say Beargrass decides not to play it, you know, go through halfway through the season, you might have Columbia and Crestwood playing like four or five times. Madamusquite, you know, that's gonna be tough on that.
Well, they used to do. They used to play each other three times a year. Those three teams, and that was their season.
That's, you know, they were happy with that too. So I got to give them, you know, more power to them for about being happy. Now I was going to look at a game North Edgecombe. They are playing at Nash Central. Nash Central is a pretty nice, pretty nice team. They're going down to 2A. North Edgecombe's kind of a chippy, dangerous 1A team at times. I think Nash Central will win this probably by two touchdowns, maybe 20 points or so. Does North Edgecombe have much of a chance in this game?
North Edgecombe has a really nice running back that for their team. You know, they've always had good running backs, but this one, I can't think of his name right offhand, but he's a special kid and special talent, and he will keep them in that game for a little while. But, yeah, I think it's just going to be too much Nash Central at the end.
Now, Fred, I got a question for you. A.C. Reynolds hosting Southern Durham. That's a pretty nice little drive for Southern Durham. I bet you that's right about 3 hours. I think A.C. Reynolds is going to win this game. I think they're going to have. I think Southern Durham is going to have trouble. What do you see for that game?
Well, I think if I had to guess, I think A.C. Reynolds wins and wins fairly handily. That's a heck of a long drive. You know, I respect the coaching staff at Southern Durham. They do a really nice job with Coach Rob and stuff. But I think they're a little bit down this year. I think they're going to have a kid they call Florida, Teron Buford, to carry him. And I think A.C. Reynolds is just too loaded. I know that they do have some athletes at Southern Durham, but I just think A.C. Reynolds has too much. And I think A.C. Reynolds, I mean, I'm not calling for a blowout, but I think A.C. Reynolds should win this game and fairly comfortably. Two touchdowns for sure.
Okay, Fred, well, I got you here. Am I sane or insane? I'm picking Parkland to beat High Point Central by 13 points.
I saw High Point Central at the Dudley Jamboree, and from what I saw, I'm going to say you're sane. I think Parkland's going to – I think Parkland wins that game. I don't think 13 points is too large of a margin. Or anything. I think Parkland's just going to be a bit better.
Now, shifting over to the northeastern part of the state, Daniel, Pasquotank, Southwest Edgecombe, tell me something right here. I think that has a making to be a pretty good battle. Am I sane or insane for thinking that?
It's going to be definitely a show-me game because, you know, is Pasquotank, you know, they've got talent there, but they've never been able just to put it all together because you've always been, you know, like Northeastern's little brother ever since the split, you know. And I don't know. Southwest Edgecombe has traditionally always been a pretty powerful ground-and-pound, pop-you-in-the-mouth type team. And it would be interesting to see how Pasquotank deals with that. So I don't know. I just think the name, Pasquotank's going to see the name Southwest Edgecombe on the jersey and is going to, you know how it is when you're playing the name, you know, instead of the team. And with the Southwest Edgecombe being as historically as good as they've been, I just don't know if Pasquotank's going to have it in them.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might be right on that. Coach McGee, I have a feeling he probably knows how to deal with that just from his pedigree. But I think you're exactly right, though, that some teams, they'll see a Northeastern, or they'll see a if you're 1A, you see a Plymouth or a Tarboro, or if you're 4A, you see Mallard Creek, and you start freaking out. All right, while we got – well, I just mentioned Mallard Creek. Let's go ahead and talk about the big 800-pound elephant in the room here. Fred, you're going to the game or probably going to go to the game tomorrow against Scotland. First thing, let me ask you this. What are you expecting, or do you have any expectations? What are your expectations about this game? Because I can see this game going either way.
Well, my first expectation is it's going to be just an electric atmosphere. I expect it to be a very big crowd at Pate Stadium, which I've never been to a game there. I've just heard great things about it. It holds a lot of people. The people show out for the games. I think a lot of people are going to come to this game because it's one of the biggest – it's two of the best teams in the state this year, by all accounts. So I think it's going to be just an electric atmosphere. I think adding to the electricity is – I think there's a decent chance. I mean, the colleges aren't playing yet. Given that some of the players that are going to be on the field, I think you're going to see a lot of college coaches and assistant coaches. I think you're going to see coaches there watching the game, especially the ones that, you know, aren't from too far away. You got the number one running back in the country, and Zeus and Zamir White. So I think people are going to come out for the game. So that's the first thing I'm expecting. The second thing is athletes all over the field. These two teams have players that play on Saturday. So I think it's going to be a high level game. I don't know score wise if I have an expectation. I've gone back and forth on favoring Mallard Creek and favoring Scotland. The question to me becomes this: if Scotland's offensive line can handle the defensive line of Mallard Creek, then I think Scotland wins. If they can't, I think Mallard Creek wins, and I think that's the deciding battle of the game.
Very good. I think you're right about that. That's a big. That's a very big matchup. I think they're number two and number three, or tied for number two in our 4A poll.
Correct.
Is that correct, Fred? Golly, that's going to be a great matchup. And you know, I've seen people going back and forth. I think there's some sandbagging, and when I say that, where they're like, "Oh, we're not all that good. We got a lot of question marks." And next thing you know, they come off and they're looking like the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers. So we shall see on this. Now, Daniel, got a question for you. This is a game that in the past would be good, but I don't think it's going to be as good this year. Farmville Central is hosting Kinston, and I got Kinston in this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think both teams are relatively young, and you know, it's not the same Kinston team that went to the state title game a few years ago, or the same Farmville team that made a push a few years ago. I mean, I could definitely see a low-scoring game in this one, to tell you the truth, more like a 14-10 type game.
Now, here's another game from the past. I think this is going to be I don't think it's going to be that great of a game, but it's a big name game, if you know what I mean. James Keenan and Wallace Rose Hill. You're talking about the two teams that won the last four 1AA state championships. And I say Wallace Rose Hill is going to win, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be a blowout. I think Will Clark is Keenan. I think they're going to really improve last year. That was probably the most injured team. You got any feel for this game, Daniel?
Interesting. Those teams are facing on the first week of the season this year. I think usually it's either been like the third or the fourth week game in, where both teams have had a little time to warm up with some previous competition, you know, before the big battle of Duplin County. Wallace Rose Hill is probably going to come in probably more prepared. You know, they definitely got the more talented players and all than James Keenan does. I think it's Wallace Rose Hill because it's the first game of the season.
Interesting thing about it, these two teams are actually playing twice during the regular season. They're playing one non-conference game and they're playing one conference game this year. So they're actually in the same two-way East Central Conference. Talking about Clinton playing Cape Fear, Fred, I'm going to get you in this too because you know a little bit about Cape Fear. Clinton's a great two-way team. Cape Fear is going to be a great 3A team. How do those two teams match up to you?
Well, there's a caveat here. I would say that Cape Fear should win this game. However, I think what a lot of people may not realize that aren't close to the program or haven't been listening here and there is their quarterback, which is he's a dual-threat quarterback. He's 6'3", 240, JGV, and I don't want to say his name wrong, but Galloway Vasquez, I think is his last name, but they just call him JGV. I've been told, and I haven't had it confirmed, that he's not playing this game, that he's going to miss the first two games of the season. Therefore, I think that it makes this game a lot more interesting. With him out, I think Clinton can give him a run. I mean, Clinton has a ton of tradition, but in the end, I think Cape Fear probably has too much.
A couple years ago, Jimmy Collins was the head coach over at Holmes, and I think it was back in 2014. Daniel, you got a better mind than I do. And Holmes was hosting Clinton, and we got to meet Coach Lewis. And Daniel, I'll tell you what, he was just kind of a pie in the sky, great fella. You couldn't tell he was a Hall of Famer or if he was a rookie coach. He just had a great enthusiasm. Pretty good coach. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. He was very kind, very knowledgeable man. And I enjoyed talking with him and talking some football with him and getting to know him a little bit there before that game there. And boy, his team sure played hard for him that night.
Got that right. Now I'm going to give some love over to Mecklenburg County. North Mecklenburg, they're hosting Jordan. I think this is going to be a good game. I think this game could go either way. North Mecklenburg has a new head coach. Coach Mormon used to be over at West Stanley. Coach Barber at Jordan High School, the one head football coach in North Carolina that Tom Knotts probably still has nightmares about. He was the head he was the running back for Gardner when he lit up Harding in the state championship. Harding was coached at the time by Tom Knotts. That's going to be a good game. Let's look about Myers Park. They're playing Charlotte Country Day. I see a running clock there. I think Myers Park is just going to score, and score often. Charlotte Country Day is a small team, very small. Now, here's a question for Fred. Mount Tabor, 3A school, playing North Davidson, which is listed as a 2A school but kind of have 4A numbers. I'm going to go with North Davidson in this game. I know you're big on Mount Tabor, but what's your thoughts, Fred?
I understand your reasoning, but I am big on Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor has an excellent tight end. They've got two big targets, receiver. Their quarterback spins it pretty well, and they're just coming down from 4A as well. I think Mount Tabor wins this game, but it's not going to be a blowout by any means.
Now, Fred, when I got you on here, someone told me Hickorich going up to 4A, and they're playing Concord, hosting Concord, which is, you know, generally a power 3A team. Coach Padgett's been there and has done a great job at Concord. Some people said that Hickory Ridge could just basically mail in or, you know, phone in their scores. They'll just, you know, beat Concord to the pulp. Do you agree with that thought, or you think this game could be closer than a lot of people expect?
Well, I'm going to do something strange here, Jim. I'm going to defer to Derek because I think he just joined the call. So if you can get Derek on, let him handle that one. He's better. He's
all
better
right
in that area.
Derek Miller, are you with us, my friend?
I am with you.
And I got to ask you that question. I don't know if you heard that or not. Hickory Ridge, Concord, what's your final score for that game?
I honestly don't know because Concord is a bit of an interesting situation. They're a team that I personally believe can be a top 25 team in 3A. Sorry, I'm walking around outside and I see red flashing lights from a fire truck parked outside the house next door, so had to go see. But they're an interesting team. Concord's got a lot of talent. They always do. They're always well coached with Coach Padgett. But here's the thing. They're breaking in a new quarterback who I believe is also either going both ways on the defensive line or at linebacker. He is a big dude. I was able to see him at 7-on-7s when Catholic went up against him. This guy, if he takes off, he's going to be hard to bring down. So I think that if – but I think that Hickory Ridge just has a little too much on offense and a little too much on defense with Concord breaking in so many new starters on offense. I think it's going to be tough. Now, they do have that All-America on the D-line, so that's definitely going to help Concord in this. But I do think at the end of the day, I think Hickory Ridge will win by 1-2 scores. I don't think it's a blowout by any means. I really don't. I like Concord, and I like what they've got this year. I just don't like them early on in the season.
No, Statesville, they're hosting, they're playing a team. They're actually going to be on the road, so they're going to be playing Hickory. Hickory's got a new coach. Statesville, has pretty much dominated this series. Derek, I can't remember the Hickory coach to save my life, but I'm going to take Statesville probably by 2 or 3 touchdowns. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it depends on what Hickory team we see. You know, Russell Stone being hired at Hickory, it is a good hire. He's won everywhere he's gone.
Hit Russell,
but
that's
here's
right.
The thing.
That's
It's not going to be a quick fix. Hickory's not going to win 10 games this year, more than likely. So you've got to look at it this way. If Statesville beats the tar out of them, you know, by 3 touchdowns, is that indicative of where Hickory is now or where they'll be at the end of the season? I think Statesville will win. I think they've got a good amount of talent. They always have athletes there. That's not a question. They've got a good coaching staff. I think they can win by 2 to 3 touchdowns if they play their game. But if they do make some mistakes and allow Hickory to hang around, it could be a closer game than we think. Those first games of the season are always weird because, you know, you're not up to game speed. You're just getting back with it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that game goes, because that's a type of team in Statesville that I think has a ton of potential, but they're just going to need to come together and actually, you know, gel and prove that they've got what it takes. But I think they've got a ton of potential to be a top team in their conference and the top team and one of the top 30, 40 teams in 3A.
Very good, Derek. I think you're right about that. Now, going back out to the eastern part of the state to Daniel Burleson, I just saw a game, and I think if I was close to that game within, let's say, an hour or so, I'd go to it. Havelock hosting West Craven. Gosh, I think that's a really good 3A school going against a really good 2A school. Daniel, are you hearing anything about either the guys over in Havelock or over in Vanceboro?
No, I really haven't. I do think that's going to be an electric game, though. I mean, those two teams have always played each other pretty tight, you know, here lately anyway. You know, Havelock had the big advantage there for a little while, you know. West Craven, you know, they've got athletes, you know, there. And they are ranked pretty high in our polls for a reason, and I think it's them and Havelock both are both top 10 teams, I believe. So I believe it's going to be a really, really good matchup.
I agree. Now, Derek, here's a game I was going to ask you about. Pinecrest is hosting Laney. Laney is a lot better team than than most people are giving credit for. Pinecrest has got a very solid team. I think this is going to be a really good matchup. What's your thoughts, Derek?
You know, I think so too. I think let's give credit to Chris Metzger, the head coach at Pinecrest. You know, for years they were just dogged, it seemed like, because they just didn't schedule tough teams. And I mean, their schedule is starting to get as tough as anyone's in the state. And Laney is the first test that they're going to have. And I mean, this is a team in Laney that was an extra point away, 1 point away from beating Wake Forest. And I think the second round of the playoffs last year, Wake Forest, who ended up just killing Page in the 4AA state championship. And they return a lot off that team. I think Laney is in a good spot right now. You know, I can understand, I can see where a lot of people aren't going to put them in a top 20 or maybe even a top 25 because they just don't know that much about them. But I think they've got a lot of good athletes. I think they're going to have a solid defense. This could be Laney, though, could be a team. And I think Jim and Fred we've all discussed this, where they could go into the playoffs with 3 losses. They could go in at 8-3, but get to the third round of the playoffs because they're that good of a team. I think they've definitely got potential. I really do like Pinecrest, though, in this game. I like their ability. They always seem to have an offense that can air the ball out, and I really like their ability to do that against a team like Laney. But if Laney brings a defense that I know they're capable of bringing, it could go either way. This is one of those games that I think is going to be almost too close to call.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a great game. And talking about great games, here's another one. This is in the Charlotte area. Derek, I want you to look I want you to think about this one really quick. Which team has more to prove? Is it Huff, who had a late coaching change, hosting Harding, who some people say we overhype Harding. Some people say that they might be a little bit overrated, and other people say they're not rated high enough. Which team has more to prove between Huff and Harding?
I think Huff does. I honestly think Huff does, because if you think about it, Huff, let's ignore the coaching change for just a minute. The program at Davidson Day was stocked with D1 athletes. Most of those, I'd say 95% of them, are now at Huff. So you've got all these new athletes coming in, these new very good, very, very just solid athletes. A lot of them going D1, one wide receiver. I can't remember his name, Grulix, I think is his last name, or Gruel, is one of the top wide receivers in the country with an offer from Wisconsin. I think that's his best offer. That's just one of the guys they picked up. But they have got a lot to prove. This is a Huff team that a lot of people going into the season were expecting to contend for a state championship, not just contend for a conference or Mallard Creek, but for a state championship. And then, obviously, Aldridge is let go as the head coach. They bring in Jenkins, the defensive coordinator over at Concord. He coached in that conference before with Hopewell, so he's familiar with it, which will certainly help Huff. But I don't think Harding's coming in here with much to prove outside of they've got to prove they're a contender. Huff has to prove that they've got what it takes to make a run at a state championship, and how you do that is by beating the tar out of a Harding team with one of the top running backs in the country. So I think Huff's got more to prove. They've got to prove that they still got it after losing their head coach and after losing and after gaining all those players. There's a lot of people around Charlotte going, okay, you know, we see you've got all these players. What are you going to do with them?
I think one more thing on the Huff story.
I think also a key part of this story for Huff is the fact that Jenkins was the defensive coordinator at Concord. They have a ton of defense questions. I was personally able to see them against Catholic and West Rowan and West Forsyth at a Jamboree last Friday night. And I have to tell you, a coach there, I'm not going to say who or anything like that, a coach there said that Huff does have some run defense issues. So with that being said, the Catholic was able to pound them with the run in that scrimmage. West Rowan pounded them with the run in that scrimmage. West Forsyth pounded them with the run. And what does Harding do? They're going to pound you with the run. So this may be a game. This may be a 45-42 game, but I could see Harding coming out with a win in this one just because of some run defense issues that Huff seems to have, at least early in the year.
Very good. That was a very good point, Derek. Going to ask a question for Daniel. This is his alma mater, Mitchell. They're going to be playing at Irwin. Irwin's graduated a lot of players. They're going to be a little bit young, but they got that kind of that plug and play type of offense. Daniel, I'm going to say Mitchell wins this game. I think it's going to be a shootout, though. Am I sane or insane?
I think it'll be a close one. You know, Irwin's always got that talent pool out of Asheville. They've always going to, you know, they might not have, you know, the players they have, but the talent's always going to be there, you know. And traditionally, Irwin has always had Mitchell's number. I think a better team, a shootout.
I think we're losing Daniel here. Daniel, I lost the last part of it. I kind of gathered that it should be a pretty good matchup between those two. Going to talk about my alma mater this time, North Stanley. They're hosting East Rowan. This is a battle of John's Tavern, for those who don't know. John's Tavern was a place I worked when I was in high school, and saw a bunch of North Stanley people and East Rowan people there. North Stanley's 1A, East Rowan's 3A. I'm going to say East Rowan wins this by about a field goal. Fred, do you know anything about East Rowan? If you think I'm sane or insane on that one?
I'm going to say you're insane because I've heard so many good things about North Stanley. Maybe you're trying to be modest about your alma mater, but I've heard a lot of good things about North Stanley over the summer, so I'm going to go with North Stanley in that game.
I'm just trying to impress some people over at East Rowan. I always like East Rowan folks. They're good people. going to go down the list a little bit here. Alexander Central versus Burns, I think that's going to be a great game. That could go – actually, I think both teams have a lot to prove. Alexander Central is going from 4A to 3A. Looking down this list a little bit here that we haven't talked about, Jesse Carson versus South Row M, that's going to be a good game. That's going to be the Battle of Channel Grove. I think Jesse Carson should win that by a couple of scores. Now, Fred Carver, they're hosting Dudley. what does Carver have to do to win this game besides, you know, hope for the maybe a bad stomach flu comes over to the whole Dudley team?
What do they have to do to win the game?
Yeah. You think some cheating, well, some, you know, maybe some food poisoning?
I was going to say, can they get the Crimson Tide to enroll tomorrow? Because I just don't think Carver can win this game. I mean, no disrespect to Carver. They're a good program. They've got some good athletes. I think Dudley just has way too much, and I just don't see it. I don't see this being a close game. I'm sorry.
Short of
Saban and the Tide rolling in and putting on Carver uniforms or somebody of that ilk, I just don't see it happening.
I agree with you. Going down here, Derek, I'm going to let you make a real quick pick. Catholic versus Christian, who you got in that game?
I think it's pretty obvious for anyone listening who knows who I am and my connection to Charlotte Catholic. I think Catholic can win, but it's going to be an uphill battle. A coach described it to me this way. It's Catholic is going in there with two knife wounds into a fight already. Kind of like the gladiator when he got stabbed in the kidney before he even went out there. Kind of similar to that. The Catholic is down with a starting middle linebacker who had 155 tackles a year ago, and now they're down a defensive end who's out for a week with a sprained something in his foot. I'm not exactly sure. So they're going to have their hands full with one of the best offenses in the state, in my opinion.
Well, you know,
a lot of people aren't going to talk about Charlotte Christian much, but this is a team that has a quarterback with an offer from Alabama and many other Big Five schools, and a running back who I believe is committed to Stanford. So this is a team that's loaded with talent. But Catholic plays ball control, and if they don't lose the turnover battle, if they can get some turnovers and turn them into scores, they can win this game. Catholic lost by 7 to Christian last year, and they lost the turnover battle 4-0 a year ago and still was within 7 points. So with an onside kick chance to get an onside kick, go down and tie. So they have a shot.
I got to give a shout out to Lee Edwardson. Right. I got to give a shout out to Lee Edwardson. Whenever North Stanley, my alma mater, used to play your alma mater, Lee Edwardson, when he was in high school, had always checked to make sure that we had the proper air in our tires for our buses, made sure we had enough gas. I want to make sure we got there. North Stanley, for those that don't know, we look kind of like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. Catholic, North Stanley played 17 times. We beat you one time. That was in that, well, a lot of people say, that god-awful 1990 season for Charlotte Catholic. But Catholic ended up bouncing right back. The 90s weren't the best decade, but the 2000s sure was pretty good. Going down the list a little bit here, I saw another one. This is for Daniel. East Carteret versus Washington. Both teams have a new coach. East Carteret 1A, Washington 2A. Who's going to win that game, Daniel?
I got East Carteret. They got more talent. It's just it's a rebuilding year in Washington. John Blank, he's got a great defensive mind. He just don't have the players.
Yep, I agree with you. Let's see, going down the list a little bit, I think West Montgomery will handle Jordan Matthews pretty easily. Lake Norman versus West Forsyth. This game right here I have circled here. A lot of people were hyping Lake Norman. They're saying they're a top 25 team. A lot of us, including myself, said West Forsyth's a top 10 team. I think this might be one of the best games in the state this year or this week. Derek, what do you think?
Well, I had a chance to see West Forsyth in a scrimmage, and I was impressed. I mean, they've got some size. KJ Henry, he is as big as they say he is. My only question with West Forsyth is, do they defend the run? Yes, with a 5-star defensive end, you can still have a tough run defense. But here's the thing. With with Lake Norman, they are built very similarly to Catholic in that they're very disciplined. They like to run the ball. They will throw more, but they love to run the ball. They're a very disciplined, well-coached team. This is a team that I believe can finish third in their conference, actually. This is a team that can beat Vance and those kind of schools that just, when they come up against a team like a Lake Norman, they just seem to sputter. However, in this, I mean, I think West Forsyth has two or three kids who are 6'5 or taller, and they will put K.J. Henry on offense at tight end, and he will block, he will run block, he will go out for passes. I think that's too much. I think Lake Norman can control the ball. They can slow down West Forsyth's offense, but I think West Forsyth's a really good football team this year. They're a top 10 team, top 5 team in my book, preseason. So, and plus, you got to give credit to Adrian Snow. He does a great job. It's not all the 5-star. It's he does a great job with every player on that team. So, I think West Forsyth wins. I think it's closer than some people may think. But Lake Norman is my sleeper in 4A, 4AA, 4A, wherever they fall, to make a deep run. I really like what they've got. I like Coach McNeely. I think he's a great guy and a fantastic coach. So they may not win this game, but don't be surprised to see them playing into late November.
I agree.
Jim, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Ditch, and you have her yet to bring up. Do you think Freedom has a shot against Shelby?
Okay,
no.
let me get on my knees here. People don't understand this. I have a ritual on this. I have to rub my knees a couple of times and chant and see if I can get the spirit from Burke County and the spirits from Cleveland County. And what are they saying? Hold on a second. I'm getting a message. It's coming through.
They said
no. Gosh, I can't say that on the air. Shelby's going to win this game, and they're going to win it big. Jim Bob Bryant, he's a great coach. He's not going to like it, and he's going to put a curse on me, but I want to tell you right now, Shelby is the real deal. I think Shelby's going to win this thing by about 3 touchdowns, but I will tell you right now, if that game was at the end of the season, Freedom might actually have a shot, but I think it's going to take a full season for Freedom to really get their feet under their legs for Jim Bob. Let's put it this way, he could possibly win the state in a couple of years. Now looking down here, though,
Jim, let me get one word in on Shelby.
Sure.
Coach Ware has said, and this is a Shelby team that's won 4 consecutive state championships. Coach Ware says that this may very well be his most talented team. So let's put that into perspective. They got 4 straight state championships. This is his most talented team he's had. I'm not sure anyone on their schedule will come close to beating them this year. If they do, it's a huge deal because I think Shelby will go 16-0. I think they'll win another state championship. Like you said, I think Freedom might have a shot at the end of the year, but I don't think they'll have it in week 1. I think Shelby rolls.
In the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend Derek Miller. Take a look at their schedule one more time.
Oh, you know what? Rock Hill South Point. Yep, you're right.
Thank you.
You're right.
Okay.
They typically don't schedule teams like that, so it's easy to look over it. But I will say that's the only team that can beat them, and I could see that being a beatdown because of the type of team Rock Hill South Point has.
And this
exactly.
is Jim West right. with Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit and Daniel. I'm trying to think who you might be. I think Keith Jackson for Derek over Daniel. What do you think? He's got that Keith Jackson.
He's a little mascot that Lee Corso usually beats up on at the end.
Oh gosh! Now, Fred, got a question for you. The Bears of New Bern, they're hosting Hillside Hornets. I'm going with Hillside Hornets, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Hillside can take New Bern that lightly, and also I don't know if who's going to be running the ball for Hillside. Do we know?
That's a $64,000 question. First off, that's a long road trip from Hillside down to New Bern, so that puts Hillside at a little bit of a disadvantage. I think Hillside is more talented this year. This isn't the New Bern of a few years ago. I think Hillside has too much talent. I think if Jamal Curry Elliott plays, then and I've heard back and forth. It's like if he's running the ball, he's an Oregon commit. I think that Hillside just has too much. I've had some people tell me that from that area that they think this is their most talented team since, I think it was 2010. They said their last state title team. I don't know if that was 2010 or 2011.
That was 2010. That's when they had Vad Lee.
Right. Well, that's what they said. They said they think this is their most talented team since then. So I think Hillside wins this game, with the caveat being as long as Elliott plays.
Very good. Very good. I'm going to pick my upset special here, and some people say this is not an upset, but I think it is. I think most people say it's going to be an upset. I'm taking Robert Patton to beat Hunter Huss. Does anybody want to walk on that ledge with me? I'll start with you, Fred.
No.
I think you're insane.
You think I'm insane?
I don't think so.
Okay. How about you?
I don't think Jim's insane. I think insane is saying that someone like Jordan Matthews would beat Crest.
Right.
I think Jim is going out on a limb here. But here's the thing. Patton is a good team. They won 8 games a year ago. They seem to be on the rise. So it's not totally out of the picture. But Hunter Huss does return a lot from a team that put, I believe, 35 points on Shelby, 33, 35 points on Shelby a year ago in the third or fourth round of the playoffs. So this is a team that's going to score points. So Patton's going to have to outscore these guys. Do I think they can beat Hunter Huss? I don't personally think so. But it wouldn't shock me to see them beat Hunter Huss. I just think Hunter Huss is a team. I think they're going to almost fly under the radar in 3A. People are going to talk about them, but they're not going to be seen as much of a threat, and then they're going to end up in the third round of the playoffs, and people are going to go, whoa, where did these guys come from?
Now, I'm going to talk about another one of my upset picks, and this is more for Fred than anybody else here. I'm picking Randleman to beat Ashboro. How crazy am I, Fred? I mean, just about this pick, not about crazy, you know, in general, but just about that pick. How crazy am I?
I'm not going to say you're that crazy. I think this will be a better game than most people think. I think most people are going to walk into it saying Ashboro should win. They've got Coach Gillespie now. They were a playoff team in 3A. They're a bigger school, and they've got some talent back. However, I've seen a little bit of Randleman. They have some talent as well, and they're very capable. I think this will be a much closer game. I would give the edge to Ashboro, but I could be wrong.
Now, I've got a question for Daniel here. Daniel, I gave Grantley Mazzell, he's our buddy over at Bertie, over Windsor, gave him some good bulletin board material. I said I picked him to be number 4 in the Northeast Coastal, and we joked around about it. I told him, you can go ahead and use it as bulletin board material. I said, Jim, my friend, don't worry about it. I already have. I'm going to pick Bertie to beat Riverside Martin. I know Riverside is hosting this game. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it could be a lot of points scored up here. Am I going too far off the ledge for my friend Grantley?
You got too much buddy love going on with my friend too, Mr. Mazzell. He's a heck of a guy. I love him to death, but he's not dealing with the best situation up there in Windsor. The kids, you know, they're not gravitating towards a system that's like he would want them to. And they've had to deal with a lot, you know, in their community and stuff. It's going to be an uphill battle for the kids in Windsor. I think Riverside's actually the better team. They got the better talent, and it is in Williamston. I think Riverside's 2 touchdowns better than Bertie.
Okay. Now, here's another one for you, Daniel. Southside versus Aiton Grifton. I like Southside, and I think Southside could make a statement in this game and win by a couple touchdowns. How crazy am I on that one?
This is another really good matchup in this area. You know, the Chargers of Aiton Grifton, they're friendly. Usually they finish in the top 2 or 3 in their conference every year, and they're always going to make into the playoffs, into the first and second round. So they're traditionally, you know, they're a high-caliber team for this area. It is a statement game for Southside. You know, they want to get the monkey off their back. They want to show that they can be this year's representative for the 1A East team, and it's a really good matchup for them. And I think it's going to be a very run-oriented game.
Now, this next question is for Derek Miller. Derek Miller, our Carolina Varsity correspondent in the greater Mecklenburg area. West Mecklenburg versus Vance. And I've been going back and forth. What's your thoughts?
I've been going back and forth too, Jim. There's three games at Memorial Stadium, and I think I'm only going to be able to attend this one at 2 o'clock, and I think it's going to be the best one out of the bunch. These two teams do not like each other. Let's just say that. This is a rivalry. The reason being, a lot of coaches that were at Vance now coach at West Mech. So there's a rivalry there. I think the players know each other from just playing against each other in 7-on-7s and in youth football. And these two teams do not like each other at all. My thought is both of these teams will be able to run the ball, will be able to move the ball on offense. This could very well be a 45-40 type of ball game. Honestly, with West Mech having their quarterback back, when I saw them last year when we went up against them at Catholic, they didn't have their quarterback. They're fully healthy. I think they're one of the top teams in the state in 4A. Vance, I think, is a top team as well, but they're more of a question mark. Both of these teams have major question marks, but I'm going with West Mech by about anywhere from a point to 7 points. I think it's going to be a very close, very hard-fought game. I know Vance has a great DC over there, Miles Aldridge, who can coach kids like it's nobody's business. We saw what he did at Huff and the success he's had everywhere he's gone. I just like the explosiveness of West Mech's offense. And my only question is, they've got so many weapons over there. Can Vance actually defend them all? It's one thing to have great coaching. It's another thing to have the players out there who can actually run the plays and defend those guys. But like I said, I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be the best game of the three there at Memorial Stadium. I would personally put it as the 8 o'clock game. But I'm really excited to see these two teams play. And it wouldn't shock me to see them match up in the playoffs either. I'm not sure where West Mech will fall in the 4AA, 4A range. But it wouldn't shock me if they both go 4A and meet in the playoffs again.
Now, this next one is also for Derek, and this is a game called Staying Alive, okay? This is, I want you to pretend for a second you're John Travolta around 1976, 77. Of course, Derek, you weren't born back then. I was barely about 6, 7 years old back then. This is a game between South Iredell and Rocky River. If you had to pick who wins this game by 3 touchdowns, who would you pick?
I'd pick South Iredell. And here's why.
Okay.
I know I was able to see Rocky River a year ago, and they just it seemed like they just couldn't get it going. They had some size. They had good-looking talent. It just seemed like they couldn't find something. You know, something was missing. And they've got a new coach, and they still, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they've got the talent there. It just seems like they can put it together. I think they're in for a rough season. That's not saying they're bad. That's not saying, you know, that they're doomed. I just think South Iredell is very well coached with Scott Miller there. I've heard from a lot of people up in that North Piedmont Conference area that they've got a lot of talent this year and that this is going to be a good year for them. And I think if they can play some disciplined football, they can beat Rocky River. Rocky River is going to get better, I think, as the season goes on. But they're going to endure some tough games. I think this is going to be one of them. I don't think it's a far-fetched thing at all to say South Iredell wins this game by, you know, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. It's just going to be a matter of do they actually play up to that standard? Because, like I said earlier, it's week one. Weird stuff happens in week one. Teams turn the ball over that never turn the ball over because you're not up to game speed yet, really. So I could see I think South Iredell wins this game by 2 or 3 touchdowns. And I think South Iredell is one of those teams that we could see in the top 25 in 3A and a contender for the 3AA title down the stretch.
Okay, I agree with you on that. West Rowan versus Mooresville. I'm going with West Rowan by about maybe a touchdown and a field goal. And I know I'm making all the Mooresville fans all mad at me and everything, but I'm used to making people mad. Derek, am I sane or insane?
I don't think you're insane, but I think we have to proceed with caution with West Rowan. One thing I did see about West Rowan at their scrimmage, I don't know how much they brought, I don't know how many kids were on vacation, things like that, but they did not have a lot of depth at the scrimmage that they went up against Catholic on, which is not very typical for them. They didn't have a ton of players. They did not have a ton of size. I'm not as well-versed with Mooresville this year as I have been in years past, so I don't know what they have. A lot of people are saying they've got some talent, but they're going to be, you know, fourth, fifth in that conference. They don't have what it takes to be up near the top yet. But this is a rivalry game, and I think we have to understand the significance of this rivalry game is that West Rowan had a 50-game winning streak or a 49-game winning streak that Mooresville ended a few years ago. So I think that we have to keep that in mind, that this is a rivalry game. Even if West Rowan doesn't have much depth or if Mooresville doesn't have as much talent, I think it's still a very evenly matched game. I could see West Rowan winning by a score, though. I don't think you're crazy at all. I do think this is a one-score game either way. So I don't think you're crazy at all to say that West Rowan can win this game. They've got a great coach. They've always had great coaches and coaching staff there. They got Charlie Gray coaching their offensive line. He was at Mallard Creek for years, one of the best in the area in coaching offensive line. Just ask any Mallard Creek offensive lineman that's in the NFL right now. So I think West Rowan's got a shot. I really do. Whether they win or not, we'll see. But I don't think that's too far out of the equation.
Now this next one is for Fred. Fred, for those who don't know, he really was not a backup singer for Glenn Campbell. This is about the Rhinestone Cowboys of Southwest Guilford. I think they're going to beat R.J. Reynolds. What's your thoughts about that game?
I agree with you. A lot
you
of
agree that you weren't a backup
Reynolds.
Singer, right?
Oh, I definitely was not a backup singer. Definitely not a backup singer. But you never want to hear me sing. But I think Southwest Guilford, they have overall the better athletes. They're led by Jaron Rainey at quarterback. He's not going to be a quarterback when he goes to East Carolina. He's an East Carolina commit. He'll probably play either a receiver, but right now I think they have him slated as a DB. They also have Nolan Johnson at DB, so they've got some real good players there at Southwest Guilford. Probably not enough depth to compete with the really top teams. But Rainey is very smart. He goes through his progressions well. He does not throw a pretty ball. But he sure doesn't seem to get picked off a lot. He seems to find open receivers, and he can take off and run as well. R.J. Reynolds has improved, new coaching staff. I know they did really well in 7-on-7. I got the opportunity to see him a little bit at the Dudley Jamboree, and I think that Southwest Guilford wins this game, but it's not going to be a blowout or anything. I see like a 14-point game or something like that.
Okay. And I'm getting this weird anonymous message from somebody, and I'm hoping Derek was going to help me. Someone keeps on writing, I love you, you love me, something about Barney from Weddington. What's that all about? Do you know anything about Barney? What are they talking about,
Barney,
Derek?
For those who don't know, he doesn't really post much on Carolina Varsity. There is the man, the myth, the legend, the foot soldier who – roams the message boards and is widely considered the king of the message boards. And he calls Audrey Kell Barney because they are purple like Barney is, I guess. And if anyone's listening who's going to be at Scotland County Mallard Creek tomorrow, he and yours truly will be there, so you can meet the legendary foot soldier and some little kid who helps coach a Catholic. So anyways, I think that this is going to be a really interesting game. Weddington is rebuilding, but I use rebuilding very cautiously because Weddington reloads. They don't rebuild. Carson has done a fantastic job with that program, and if anyone knows the background of how he got there and the entire situation, and you want to know, shoot me a message on Facebook or on CarolinaVarsity.com in the forums. I can give you the whole story, but really it's incredible. But I think this is going to be a really close game, honestly. Audrey Kell does have a new coach. That's their one issue. They do have a new coach who's rather young, has never been a head coach at any level. He was in college at Ohio State as a grad assistant, and I think he was an assistant at Miami of Ohio recently. But that doesn't translate to on the field in high school. They're very different. However, I think Weddington will win this game. Weddington lost 15 starters off of a state championship team. That's not including depth players. But
right.
I really think Weddington is more disciplined. I think they're going to play some smash mouth football, and they're going to force you into mistakes. I think Fred said it after the state title game last year. They just capitalize on your mistakes, and they can just get rolling, and they're hard to stop. They're a very good football team. They've got a lot of tough games on their schedule, so we're going to find out how good they are real quick. But I think they can beat Audrey Kell just because they're going to play disciplined football, they're going to run the football, and they're going to be well-coached. And if you have those three ingredients, you can win anywhere in high school football. But I think it'll be a closer game than people think. A lot of people are not high on Audrey Kell this year, And anyone who knows, you know, what they lost last year and things like that can understand that. But I think they're going to give Weddington a fight in this one. But I think it's going to be Weddington by 7 to 10 points. Would not shock me though if Audrey Kell pulls the upset.
Wow, wow! You heard it here first. This is
only
Jim
because
West,
it's
Derek
a
Miller.
Huge. Only because it's a huge rivalry game. If it wasn't
right.
a big rivalry game, I wouldn't say that. But these are two teams that are built with kids who grew up playing each other, who know each other, and the competition is extremely fierce.
I got
a
game for you,
over.
Jim.
Yes.
I don't think we've talked about this one yet, but I think it's worth talking about. One team has a coaching change. They had a little bit of what they would consider a down year and what some programs would think is a fantastic year. And they're hosting a defending state champion. And I'm talking about South Point.
Yes.
I was just curious on what y'all's thoughts on that are.
I'm going with South Point in this game. I think it's going to take a while for Eden's offense to gel in, but I'm going to take South Point in this game. I think South Point's going to win probably by 3 to 7 points.
I'm going to take Crest.
Wow. Okay.
And just the reason being, I think Crest is going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. My understanding is they're instituting a little bit of option in their game. I think that'll make them a little bit more used to what they're seeing out of South Point. Now, I love South Point's defensive lineman, Davis. I think he's fantastic. I thought he was the difference in their state championship game last year. But I just have a kind of a feeling that I think it's going to be Crest. I think they want to get themselves back on the scene.
You know, I have to agree with – honestly, I have to agree with Jim here. The one thing that's going to – may hurt Crest – is that they are breaking in a new coach, they're breaking in a new offense. So you're going to have a little bit of roughness. You're going to be a little rough. South Point, defending state champion, they've got some good players returning. They're breaking in a new coach too, though. That's the other interesting part. They're not changing an offense, but they do have a new coach. So I think it's going to be really interesting. It's a big rivalry game down there in Cleveland. Gaston County's going at it. Typically both teams highly ranked to start each year, and they're both ranked this year. In separate polls. I think that I think South Point can pull out the win, but I mean, Crest is going to give them everything they can handle. I think Crest will be one of the best teams they see all year outside of Shelby.
Yeah, it's going to be, you're right. I mean, that's some good football over there. Now, over in Fred's territory, to me, this is going to be two improved teams on our hands here. Western Guilford versus Moorhead. I think both of these teams are going to be a lot better this year. And you saw Western Guilford, I guess was it a jamboree. Fred, what's your thoughts?
I saw them.
Western Guilford.
Okay, I saw Western Guilford at the Dudley Jamboree. I saw Moorhead just in 7-on-7, and I've seen them a lot in the past. Coach Sadler runs a great program. He's a really good coach. Moorhead traditionally has depth problems because they lack the numbers. But I was amazingly surprised at how I had low expectations of Western Guilford. And they look good. They were excited. They have some numbers issues, too. They don't have great depth. But I really like their quarterback, who was probably no more than 5'7 and 150 pounds, but he was shifty and fast, and he found a way to throw the ball when he needed to. I'm going to take Western Guilford in this game.
Now, the next game I want to talk about, this is the defending 4AA state champion. And a lot of people are like, oh, who is that? Is that Mellow Creek? Is that Butler? No, Mecklenburg County didn't win it last year. It was Wake Forest. Wake Forest is playing Millbrook, and I've heard a lot of great things about Wake Forest. And they could pass the ball. They could just do about anything they want to. I want to tell you right now, though, Millbrook's going to give them a fight, and I think it's always hard to start off the year after winning a state championship. I'm going to say that Wake Forest wins, but I say Millbrook holds them to within 15, 16 points. Any of your thoughts, Fred?
I see what you're saying. I just think Wake Forest is too good. I think I can see 15, 16 points, but I also think I can really see 21, 24 points. I know that's not a big difference. I like Wake Forest comfortably in this game. I think Wake Forest is very, very good this year.
I have to agree with Fred. I think Wake Forest is really good. I think Millbrook will be good too. But I'll be honest with you, I think Wake Forest can hit 35 points in this game. I really do. Everything I've heard about their offense on 7 from 7-on-7s all the way to scrimmages has been nothing but just they are as good as they were last year, if not better. They're as good as they were last year, if not better. And if they're better than they were last year on offense, it's going to be a very long night, I think, for Milbrook when they run that wing T and they just pound you into submission. I really do think that Wake Forest can win this game with 35 points, kind of a 35-21 type of game, maybe get a late score to stretch that lead to two touchdowns. I think it's going to be a battle, but I could also see where you're coming from, like Fred said, with, you know, a 17-14 type of win. But I think Wake Forest has a ton of potential on offense, and I really like Wake Forest. They're my favorite, and for depending on where they fall, they may not be 4AA this year. They may be 4A. Whichever way they fall, they will be my favorite more than likely. If it's 4A, they'll be my favorite along with Scotland.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least. If they go 4A or they go small or they go small 4A or big 4A, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now this is going over to the mountain area, Swain County. They're hosting Tuscola. Swain is a pretty nice, pretty good 1A team playing a pretty good 3A team. Derek, do you see Swain snaking their way into a victory against Tuscola?
You know, I mean, Tuscola is an interesting team. A lot of people in the mountains are high on them. They think that Tuscola can be pretty darn good this year in 3A. Swain County is an interesting situation. They haven't been the Swain County that we knew a few years ago, where they were in state championships, getting to regional finals and whatnot. They just haven't been that. I think Tuscola wins this game. I don't know if Swain County can come within two touchdowns of Tuscola, just because Tuscola is going to have so many more numbers. They're going to be very well coached. They're going to have some explosive players. Swain County runs that veer. They've run it for a long time. They do it well. They do it as well as anyone in the mountains does. But I think it's a numbers game, and they're going to have some players who are playing. They're going to have players who are playing both ways, and it's going to be hot. Even if it's the mountains, it's going to be hot on Friday night. It's supposed to be 95 here in Charlotte on Friday night, so it's going to be hot there. That's going to take a toll, I think, on Swain County, and I think ultimately I think Swain County loses this game. But I think they could. I think they have an ability to come out and hit Tuscola in the mouth a little bit and give them a little scare. But I think at the end of the day, Tuscola runs off with it in the second half.
It's going to be a. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. You know, there are so many good conferences this year, and always think about the Mecklenburg County schools. You know, the 4A schools, that 3A conference that Charlotte Catholic is now in, that Southern Carolina Conference. That might be a better conference, at least top to bottom for me, than the old South Mech 8 from last year, now the South Mech 7. Got a thought about that, Derek?
I think it's 100% a better conference. You look at the teams that are in there, there's a lot of good teams. There's four or five teams that are ranked in the top 35 in a lot of polls, not just ours. When you look at Catholic leading the way, here's a stat for you people listening at home that may not know Charlotte Catholic well, or you're like, oh, well, they're always doing really well. We know that. Charlotte Catholic has not lost a conference game since 2009. It is now 2017. They have lost one conference game since 2003. Wow. Most teams have not. There's a team in Charlotte, Garinger, that has not won a game since 2011. And that's why I think Catholic's the front runner. I think right behind them you've got Monroe and Weddington battling it out. I think they're very even. I like Monroe. Their offense is very good. They're going to have an explosive offense. Put Vance on upset alert when they play Monroe. I think week three or four, Vance will play Monroe. Put Vance on upset alert. I think Monroe can pull that off. You've got Sun Valley with one of the best quarterbacks in the state. Their problem is they don't really have a run game, and their defense has been very shaky. So that's what keeps me from having them higher. They're around my 24 to 28 range. You've got Marvin Ridge, who's going to be pretty solid this year. They've got a good coach. He's been there now going into, I think, his third year. They lost a lot of D1 talent, though, so it's going to be hard to replace that. You've got Cuthbertson, who should be pretty good. They're a 6-7 win team, I think, maybe 8 win team, depending on a couple of close games. And then you've got Piedmont and Parkwood, who are not up to par with the rest of those teams. Piedmont runs, I think, I call it the rolling double wing or the Three Stooges offense. I don't know how to describe this offense. If you're a coach, you would understand what I'm talking about. It's what South Mech ran for a number of years back in the mid-2000s into the early 20-teens. It's just a very, very interesting offense, very unique offense. Does very well when you've got the players who can run it, you can win some football games. But if you've got players who are out of position or it's just not working for you, it's a disaster. So I think Parkwood and Piedmont will battle it out down there at the bottom of the league, and that's not a knock on them at all. It's just this league is so deep that you need everything you've got to contend in this league. And I think we're going to see some great games out of this league this year, especially Weddington and Marvin Ridge. That's a huge rivalry. Catholic and Marvin Ridge is also a huge rivalry. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting day. And a lot of the old Catholic grads, the old guard who played for Coach Odo, they're excited about the Monroe game that used to be the game for Charlotte Catholic in conference play. So it's going to be really exciting. I think it's going to be great for high school football in Union County and Mecklenburg County to have this conference and have just such a plethora of very good teams together in one area.
Right. I agree with you. Got just a few minutes left here. I got one last game I want to ask about to Fred. Middle Creek and Rocky Mount. Middle Creek is the home team. A lot of people were shocked that Rocky Mount wasn't in the 3A. A lot of people were disappointed. I got a lot of emails. They lost a lot of players. Middle Creek is probably a 10 to 15 team in the 4A. If do you see Rocky Mount winning, having a decent chance of winning this game? And second, if they do win this game, where would you place them in the 3A?
Well, let me take the second part first. It really depends on what happens in other games also, but I think they would definitely be ranked. But it really depends on what happens in some other games. I think it would definitely be an upset. I think Rocky Mount, it surprises people because Rocky Mount has been in they won a state championship, and then they lost the state champion runners-up. So they've been in the title game 2 years in a row. But they did lose a lot. They lost a couple of kids off their defense that have been starting for 3 years. D1 type players, names escaping me right now. He went to South Carolina, the linebacker, who also played some running back for them. They lost Artavius Richardson off the D-line. They just lost a lot of talent. Now, Coach Battle does a good job, and he'll reload them, but I don't think they're going to have enough for Middle Creek. I think Middle Creek, being a 4A school and a strong 4A school this year, I think they just have too much for Rocky Mount. So I do not think they're going to upset them. There's always a chance, but I would be very, very surprised. But if they do, yes, I would rank Rocky Mount.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, there was a lot of shock with the 3A, but there was a lot of teams that went from 4A to 3A. We had we went from 101 teams who were in 4A down to 77, and only two teams actually went from 3A to 4A, and that was Corinth, Holders, and Hickory Ridge. So basically you had 26 teams going from 4A to 3A, and probably about half of those teams are right close to the top 25. So it's, teams like Rocky Mount, they get kind of overlooked sometimes. But, guys, thank you all so much. Derek and Fred and Daniel had dropped off earlier on. He has to get up early in the morning. He's like me. He has to work, but thank goodness I don't have to get up as early as he does. But, I want to thank both Fred and Derek for their time on this, and Daniel, and for the gang at Carolina Varsity. This is Jim West, and we just thank you so much for listening to our show. And whatever you do, I hope you have a good time tomorrow. I hope you, if you go to a game tomorrow, if you go to a game Friday, I hope you have a great time. Just be safe and enjoy football, and pull for your team. For everybody at Carolina Varsity, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great evening. Good night.